Thank you, Nathan. To members of the press, thank you for attending our call today. I'm in New York to speak at the Renewable Energy Finance Forum, Wall Street, hosted by the American Council on Renewable Energy. Later today, I'll talk to renewable energy investors about how we can work together to displace large amounts of foreign oil with domestic renewable ethanol. The reason for this call is to announce the latest investment made by POET. In 1987, POET came into existence by purchasing a bankrupt ethanol plant in Scotland, South Dakota. At a challenging time for the fledgling ethanol industry, when others were getting out, we found an opportunity to deliver a new bounty of American energy from the eternal bounty of the American heartland. 22 years later, and 26 plants later, we still see tremendous opportunity for the American ethanol industry. That's why over the past 2 years, as plant construction halted, we continued looking for opportunities to expand our network of plants. After passing up numerous opportunities, we are excited to announce the acquisition of our newest plant, Poet Biorefining, Cloverdale. Located in Indiana, about 40 miles southwest of Indianapolis, Cloverdale has access to ample bushes of corn in close proximity to markets for ethanol and Dakota Gold Distillers dried grains. We've had a little time to get to know the community of Cloverdale, and the reception we've received so far has been overwhelmingly positive. I'm confident that this plant will be a perfect fit for what we do at POET. This is also a great time to be bringing new production online. U.S. farmers in 2009 proved once again that we can responsibly feed and fuel our world with record production and record yields. Today, if there's an agricultural crisis, figuring out what to do with these record surpluses. Before we start up the plant, we'll have some work to do. First, we need to go through the permitting process to reopen the facility. Then, we'll update the plant with our proprietary fermentation process and a total water recovery process that will decrease the facility's water use. We'll also add advanced pollution control equipment and double grain storage. If everything goes smoothly, the plant will be operational in 8 to 9 months and able to produce 90 million gallons of ethanol per year. In the long term, the vast amount of ag residue in the area makes this plant an excellent candidate for cellulosic ethanol production, which is the technology our company is working on today. This will be our fourth ethanol plant in Indiana. We continue to enjoy a strong working relationship with Governor Daniels and the Indiana Department of Economic Development. You're instrumental in helping us put this project together. I'd also like to thank Putnam County officials and the town of Cloverdale for the reception we've received. Finally, I'd like to thank AgStar Financial for their work with us to finalize this transaction. This will be our 27th production facility overall. In total, what will have a capacity to produce 1.7 billion gallons of ethanol and more than 4.5 million tons of dried distillers grain. We'll continue to look for opportunities to expand that capacity and grow America's domestic renewable fuel industry. Thank you.
Right now, we would be happy to take a few questions.
Good morning. This is Dan Looker from Successful Farming Magazine. Jeff, could you tell us when you expect the plant to be in operation again?
We're talking 8 to 9 months. I would say by April 1st of next year, the plant should be operational.
Thank you.
Jeff, Tom Gabrikiewicz of the Argus Leader. About how much output are you looking at when it opens?
90 million gallons per year would be the plant capacity.
Jeff, good morning. Ken Anderson, Brownfield Radio Network. You mentioned this is your fourth plant in Indiana. Is this a strategy to locate closer to the East Coast ethanol market?
You know, at POET, we have a very strict criteria around site selection, and it involves a lot of different things from corn supply to rail location to natural gas and electric supply. There are many different things that enter into the equation. So location to the East Coast market certainly it plays into that equation, but again, there are multiple things we look at when choosing a site for a facility or choosing to look at the acquisition of a facility.
This is Jackie Thacker with Deep Stuff. Can you tell us a little bit more about the history of this plant? Who owned it before? How long has it been unoperational? When did it first come online?
The facility was previously owned by Ultra Biofuels, ALTRA, Ultra Biofuels. It came online in, I think it was 2007, but we can verify that. It operated for a period of time, a short period of time, and then was closed. I believe it was 2007. We can get you that data, Nathan. I'll get it to you. It has been shut down for quite some time.
Jeff, Don Wallace with the Two Joes on the Street show on the Internet. Could you tell us where we stand with the EPA on going to E15?
Yes, I can tell you what the latest is that we know, and that is that the testing has been delayed. That decision was supposed to be made, and that waiver decision was supposed to be made in June. So that's what we were promised by the EPA. Unfortunately, they have stated now that some of the testing may take until September and additional testing until November. And so the Department of Energy is the group that was doing the testing, so we're disappointed that, you know, at a time when our nation is in need of renewable energy, at a time when we're seeing the crisis in the Gulf, you know, that we're being delayed in increasing the amount of renewable energy that this country uses.
I think, Stephen, do you want to ask a question? We got one question from here.
You said this plant is sitting idle. What is this acquisition made about the financial health of the ethanol industry today? You expect more acquisitions like this?
You know, today we are up against the blend wall. And that is, we are limited to 10% of U.S. gasoline supply, and so certainly that plays a role. You know, we are confident at POET that we're going to see our nation move to E15 through the EPA waiver process, and that will make this facility viable. In addition, POET is going to add multiple new technologies to this plant. We will be implementing several new technologies and our proprietary technologies to allow this plant to become more competitive than in the past. So with larger markets and forward technology, we think this plant will be very successful long term.
Are there still a number of plants sitting idle around the
U.S.? There are still some plants that are sitting idle around the U.S. Several have come back online in the last six to 8 months.
This is Noreen Malik with Dow Jones. I was wondering, like, when you put in the new technology, what's going to be the breakdown in terms of production, corn versus cellulosic and other types of...
Okay, the facility will be 90 million gallons of grain-based ethanol. This facility is a candidate down the road for our cellulosic technology that we've been developing for the last many years, several years. So it would be a prime candidate because it's not only is it surrounded by the corn, but it's also surrounded by the biomass that comes from growing the corn. So short term, it will be obviously a corn facility. Later on, we would add additional capacity in the form of cellulosic ethanol that could take this plant up in capacity by another 40 to 50 million gallons.
Okay, thanks.
This is Beth Evans with Platts. I just wanted to ask, what was the price of this plant?
We've not been disclosing the price at this point.
Is there anything you can say, just looking at the M&A market? Are prices for facilities a bit lower these days, or any sort of color you can give us?
You know, I think since the first acquisitions in the industry, the price has increased slightly, is what I would say. Again, at POET, we have literally looked at dozens and dozens of acquisitions. And you know, to meet our strict criteria, we have turned down a lot of opportunities. Again, this facility at Cloverdale does very much fit the POET model, and we feel it will be very successful long term.
Okay.
You mentioned that this could help you scale up your cellulosic efforts. Depending on the status of your cellulosic pilot plant, and given that we haven't seen the scale up of this industry like we thought we would, what are the prospects?
Well, actually, at POET, we've been working on cellulosic ethanol for about a decade, and we've made tremendous strides. We've been able to lower the cost just in the last year and a half. from about $4.15 per gallon to about $2.35 per gallon. And that's an all-in cost. That's including depreciation. So today we are competitive with gasoline. While we're not competitive with grain-based ethanol, we are competitive with gasoline. And I think that's pretty exciting, especially since we have 1 billion tons of biomass in this country that goes to waste each year. So a tremendous opportunity to make up to 80 billion gallons of ethanol from that biomass that's available. So we've seen tremendous progress at Pollock. The process is going very well. In fact, we are ready to launch Project Liberty this year. We are, however, waiting for a Department of Energy guarantee, loan guarantee, in order to move that process forward. We've applied for that, and it's critical that the government continue to stand behind these first few projects. They want to ramp up the speed at which Alaska ethanol comes to market. It's very important that they stand behind the guarantee programs that were created to move this industry forward.
And that's 25 million gallons per year?
Yes, Project Liberty is a 25 million gallon facility at Emmitsburg, Iowa.
Do you expect that to, assuming you get the loan guarantee, will that come online in the time frame that you set out?
Yes, we expect that to come online in late 2011.
Jeff, this is Dan Looker again. Could I ask one more question? I wondered, of the 27 plants Pollock owns, how many were built from the ground up and how many were acquired?
26 plants were built from the ground up, and this is the first acquisition. Yeah, I probably should correct one thing there, although it's been modified so much. But our original Scotland plant was an acquisition way back in 1987, so I guess you could say it was 25 and 2, but it's, again, there's been so much construction there that it's pretty much a new facility.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff, this is Don Wallace again. How many employees will you hire to run this plant?
We're looking at 40 employees to run this facility, about a $2 million per year payroll.
This is John Cisliano with Energy Washington. I just had a quick question. You mentioned pollution controls on the new plant. Just wanted to see if you're taking into account CO2 or what you're taking into account there as far as new pollution controls, making the plants cleaner.
Well, of course, the facility needs to meet all the state and federal standards for air quality. So in order to make sure this facility has the capacity that it needs to operate at 90 million gallons per year, we'll be adding some pollution control equipment. And that's to get this facility will be a minor source moving forward, so we'll be able to get it to a very minor number of pollutants coming out of the facility.
What kind of pollutants do you usually, guard against or monitor for with an ethanol facility as opposed? Yeah, go ahead.
It gets pretty deep. Not sure how to get into all that detail, but
okay.
There are many things that are regulated, and of course, our facilities are all minor emitters, very, very small emitters compared to a lot of other industries.
Jeff, Ken Anderson, Brownfield Radio Network again. You mentioned you're there on Wall Street. I'm wondering what the mood of investors is as far as the biofuels industry is concerned. What are you hearing?
You know, I think that there's a lot of concentration around wind and solar. However, we are seeing some interest in biofuels. I think it's highly misunderstood that yields in this country have increased significantly over the last 50 years, and are once again projected to double in the next 20 years. And in addition, I think that the fact that Alaska ethanol is right around the corner is some news that we're able to tell people as well. So, we saw some follow-up from the last gold rush in the ethanol industry. I think we'll see some steady investment from Wall Street and from other equity players and investors in the country, the banks, moving forward, possibly more rational growth. But I think certainly that growth to eventually meet the renewable fuel standard.
All right. Thanks very much. If you have any further questions, you can follow up with Matt Merritt. Thanks, everyone, for being on the call.